like to say good evening to everyone who is assembled in this audience as we prepare to, or as we actually engage in continuing and concluding our worship to God on this Lord's Day. It is always a joy to assemble with the children of God and engage in meaningful worship. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This passage is familiar to all of us who have been reading and studying the Bible for any real period of time. This is a great passage. It is a pertinent passage of Scripture. I want to ask you to think with me to a story that broke on last Monday. Will be a week ago on tomorrow, about an incident that took place in Dayton, Ohio. The story is reported. Authorities say a Bible may have saved the life of a Dayton bus driver Monday morning. A New Testament Bible was in the front pocket of Regional Transit Authority bus driver Ricky Wagoner's shirt when he took two bullets to the chest during an early morning shooting. The bullets struck the Bible and did not penetrate his body. Authorities told WHIO TV. Wagoner spent Monday night at Miami Valley Hospital recovering from a gunshot to his leg and a stab wound to his left arm. Three shots were fired, police said, and the Bible blocked two of them. I had a book in my hand, or in my pocket, Wagoner said in the 911 call. At first, I thought it went through. It just feels like I've been hit with a sledgehammer in the chest, and I've been cut on the arm. Officers at the scene called the life-saving event an intervention. There was obviously some kind of intervention involved in this incident because Wagoner should probably not be here. Dayton Police Sergeant Michael Pauley said. According to WHIO, Wagoner 49 parked his bus on Lakeview Avenue in Dayton after it stopped running. While outside of the bus assessing the problem, Wagoner was approached by three teens who said they had to shoot a polar bear, police said. The teens also mentioned getting into the club. Wagoner fought for his life, wrestling a gun and knife away from the teens, who then ran away. They started to run. I shot at them with their gun. I got their gun and knife in the bus with me, he said in the 911 call. Wagoner told the 911 operator that he stabbed one of his attackers with his pen, but he was unsure of if any of the shots he fired hit them. Police said three suspects are about 15 to 18 years old. Paramedics rushed Wagoner to Miami Valley after the incident. Officials said he was shaken up, but is now in good condition. According to a police report, Wagoner told officers he bought his copy of the Bible about a week ago. Police said they'd investigate Wagoner's attack as a possible gang initiation. WCPO reporter Amy Wattis learned Monday evening. According to Dr. Art Gibson, criminal justice professor at the University of Dayton, the term polar bear is often used by gangs. He said polar bear refers to a white individual and black bear refers to a black individual. Club is in essence a reference for a gang, Gibson said. To say it's time to get into a club means this is my entrance fee. This is how I get in. This is how I prove myself. It is believed that Ricky Wagoner's life was saved very possibly by a Bible that he had in his shirt pocket. Now, you might be wondering, Brother Jones, why have you read this story to us? What value does it have? What validity and relevance does it have for us today? For all of us in general, for teens in particular, but really, for all of us, the Bible blocked the bullets. So what? What lesson is there for me? What lesson is there for us? What relevance do we see in this tragic incident? What I want to express to you this evening and affirm is that the Bible, the Word of God, protects from more than bullets. I want you to think about that. The Bible protects from more than bullets. The value of the Bible is tragically underestimated. When we make our assessment of the Word of God. Now, I do want to emphasize that just like the Bible protected Ricky Wagoner's physical life, it can also in some ways protect our physical lives. But more significantly and more importantly, the Bible has the capacity, the capability of not only saving our physical lives and protecting us in innumerable ways, it has the ultimate power to save our souls and protect our spiritual lives. Because the Bible, even today, in the 21st century, blocks more than bullets. Now, the physical book, the Bible, was in the physical shirt pocket of Ricky Wagoner and blocked physical bullets and prevented them from penetrating Ricky Wagoner's physical body and thus very likely saving his physical body. But when I talk about the Bible this evening, I am not speaking of having a Bible on your person or in your pocket so that in case you are assaulted by a criminal, in case you are attacked, and in case you are shot at, that the Bible might protect you physically from the impact and the deadly force of the bullets with the physical book. That happens very rarely. It's happened on some other occasions. This man, Ricky Wagoner, is not the first man whose life has been saved by a Bible blocking bullets. But I'm not concerned so much about the physical Bible as I'm concerned about the spiritual Word of God, the message that is vouchsafed in the pages of the physical Bible. I'm concerned about the actual Word of God that has the power to protect us from more than bullets. This book, known as the Bible, it's a very valuable book. It's not just the book of the month. It's not just the book of the year. It is the book of the ages. This book can not only be read, but this book has the power to read us. This book can inspect us. This book can direct us. This book can protect us. And I'm not saying by having it on your physical person or in your physical pocket, this book can protect us when we internalize this message and when we, in keeping with the admonition that is suggested in Psalm 119 in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, we see a summary of the word of God in these few verses. Timothy was one who had been introduced to the Bible when he was very young. And Paul is reminding Timothy that he's living in the midst of an evil world, of a crooked and perverse generation. In verse 13, he affirms, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What was said then is still relevant and meaningful for us now. In our own age, evil men and seducers are growing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But there is something that is designed by God. There is a deliberate intervention into the lives of men that inhabit this planet, a deliberate intervention by God Himself. Now, it's interesting that the police officer at the scene, or officers, called this incident with Ricky Wagoner. They called it this life-saving event, an intervention. And I would agree that it was an intervention. Intervention is the process of intervening or coming in or between by way of hindrance or modification to interfere with the outcome or course, especially of a condition or process, as to prevent harm or improve functioning. An intervention is designed as the act of something occurring or lying between two things. That Bible served as an intervention. That Bible served as a hindrance because it came between the deadly bullets and the body of Ricky Wagoner, and it resulted in saving his life. God, through divine intervention, has decreed through his word, commandments, values, principles, guidelines, statutes, and laws that are designed to protect us. And God knew that we would need the Bible. No wonder Jesus said to Satan in Matthew 4 and verse 4, quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Paul says, in the midst of the kind of world in which we live, in contrast, in opposition to the evil that surrounds us, you continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Do you realize the Bible is designed with you in mind, and it is designed to protect you? It is designed to direct you. It is designed to inspect you, and it is designed to save you. The Bible is not only to be read, but the Bible reads us. And it's designed to provide for us the very best possible way of life. Ultimately, it is designed to save our souls. Remember James 1:21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." The word of God is to come between us and the deleterious and destructive forces that would undermine our spirituality and that would lead ultimately to the loss of our souls. But if we will allow the message of the Bible not just to be in our pockets, but if we allow it to be in our hearts and in our heads, we can be protected from the negative, destructive, subversive influences in the world. Paul says, Timothy, now you've been exposed to the word for a lot of years, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Many of us have been exposed to the Scriptures for a lot of years. But we are not guaranteed protection if we just carry the Bible under our arms, if we just carry the Bible in our hands, if we just keep the Bible on our coffee tables, if we keep the Bible by our bedside, if we keep the Bible in our purses, even if we keep the Bible in our shirt pockets, as did Ricky Wagoner, that does not guarantee our protection. That does not guarantee our safety. That does not guarantee our security. In order to be safe, in order to be secure, in order to be protected, we must hide the Word of God in our hearts. We must live out the reality of its principles each and every day in our lives. A lot of folks are harmed. A lot of folks are damaged. A lot of folks are destroyed. A lot of folks have serious problems in life because they are without the divine protection that God has designed for us in the pages of the Bible. It's right that we inculcate the serious spiritual principles that are contained in the Word of God into the hearts of our children and into our own hearts. And before we can transmit the Word of God successfully to the hearts of our children, it must prerequisitely be dwelling in our own hearts. And we are reminded of this time and again. But noticeably, when we look at the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, notice what the Bible says, and this passage warrants our revisiting periodically. Just look, please, at verse number 3 and following. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting with verse number 3, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." We should constantly expose our children to the vital Word of God. We should instill it in our hearts and in the hearts of our children. That had been the case with Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, unpretentious, unhypocritical faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also we find the protection that we need in life most, resident in the divine Word of God." The Bible is given by inspiration of God, and it's beneficial or profitable for teaching, for reproof, for helping people know where they are off track, for correction, helping people get on track and stay on track through instruction in righteousness that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything we really need, according to 2 Peter 1:3, that pertains unto life and godliness has been provided in the Word of God. It has been said that sin destroys. It destroys internally. It destroys externally. And eventually it destroys eternally. Sin will take its toll on you. But the Bible protects us from sin. The Bible will keep us from the destructive ravages of sin. But I want you to not only remember that the Bible will keep us from sin, but also sin will keep us from the Bible. Do you read your Bible frequently? Do you study it often? Do you saturate your soul in it? Do you allow it to marinate in your heart? Do you meditate upon it day and night? Or does sin keep you away from the Bible? I think most of us will concede, if we are not very careful, the devil is so shrewd that he can easily keep us away from the Bible. Now, he wants you to own a Bible. He wants you to have several Bibles, and most people have in their homes 4 or 5 Bibles. The devil doesn't mind you owning a Bible. The devil doesn't mind you carrying a Bible. The devil doesn't mind you having a Bible in your car. He doesn't mind you having a Bible in your bookshelf. He doesn't mind you having a Bible on the nightstand. The devil gets nervous, however, when he sees you seriously studying the Bible and memorizing the Bible and meditating upon the Bible, and his knees tremble and knock when he sees you taking your religion seriously and literally living out the reality of it in your life. When he sees the Bible making a difference in your home, when he sees the Bible making a difference on your job, when he sees the Bible making a difference with your finances, when he sees the Bible making a difference in your interpersonal relationships, when he sees the Bible's influence in how brothers and sisters in Christ deal with and relate to each other, when he sees us, because of the influence of the Bible, loving one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another, edifying one another, he gets nervous. He doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't mind you coming to Bible class. He doesn't mind you giving correct answers to the questions. He doesn't mind you attending worship services if you just have to attend. He'd prefer you stay home or go someplace else. But the thing that he's really concerned about, that you fail to hide the Word of God in your heart and live out the reality of it in your life, and allow it to make a real, positive, dynamic difference in your behavior, in your demeanor, in how you live your life. Because he recognizes that the Bible protects from more than bullets. The Bible protects our health in so many ways. Years ago, I'm told that somebody introduced in the California legislature a bill that would provide for, would mandate and require that a safe sex kit be placed in every hotel room in California. They were interested in protecting people of all ages from the dangerous and destructive and deadly sexually transmitted diseases. And they said, we want to protect our population. So we want to put a safe sex kit in every hotel room in California. The poor fool did not recognize that a safe sex kit was already in every hotel room in California. Courtesy of the Gideons, that safe sex kit is in most of our homes, in all of our homes. We carry it to church with us every Sunday. We bring it to worship. We bring it to Bible class. The safe sex kit of which I'm speaking
give us the Bible to just read it occasionally or leisurely and quote from it periodically and to keep it in our homes and bring it to church. The Bible is given that we might study it. The Bible is given that we might love it. The Bible is given so that we might live it. The Bible is given ultimately so that it will save our souls. Are you taking full advantage of the protecting powers that are contained in the Bible? Remember, the Bible blocks more than bullets. You want good spiritual health. If you want a good, clear conscience, the Bible helps ensure that you can have those. Do you want to have the best physical health that is available? The Bible, by practicing its principles, can help improve our physical health. Oh, the Bible is a wonderful book. No wonder the psalmist exclaimed, "Oh, how love I my law! It is my meditation all the time." The Bible protects from more than bullets. If you're here this evening, you're not a Christian, you might not become one. You've heard gospel message. Believe it, repent, confess, and submit to baptism for the remission of your sins. And start on your own way to live a brand new life that is protected by the content of the Word of God in the Bible. You are here and you're already a child of God, but you've fallen by the wayside. You have not taken the Bible very seriously. You have trampled under calloused and insensitive feet the holy commandments of the Lord our God. Why not repent today? Why not renew your relationship with the Lord? Why not recertify the protection that is afforded by the Bible, the Word of God? Will you come as we gather time?
Will we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word? Oh, what a glory He shed on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no